This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, hour number two. What's happening? Tinky and Tierney. We're getting it done. CBS Sports Radio coming to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience on this Wednesday around the country. CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. We'll put a little pause on the hoops, although our next guest was a pretty big-time basketball
former
player.
Former Hooper, yeah.
Catholic League back in Chicago.
Wait, were you good?
I was good. I hung it up for football, but I was All-City Chicago, AU, me, Quentin Richardson, Corey Maggette. We had a squad now.
Wow.
That was before those days, before they did that. But, yeah, it's...
Could you dunk?
I still can. The transition from playing defense and basketball and playing left tackle, it's the same thing.
And let me introduce him. Hold on. It's David Deal, by the way, for those who aren't watching us on TV. If you're watching us here on the network, of course, you can see Dave's big mug.
Oh, yeah.
That big head, that big rock head.
Dave, you can count on me, Deal.
That's right. You can count on me, Tiki Barber. That's right.
I would love to play with you, man.
Single game. That's right.
This guy must have been a great teammate.
Oh, he was
as
awesome.
Much as I like to bust his chops, he must have been a great teammate.
Yeah, you know
teammate.
Why I loved him? Because he could run.
Yeah, he could move.
He could run.
Because he could play. Listen, if you could play basketball in Chicago, I'm guessing you were probably one of the only white guys on the court.
Yeah, it was. Well, you're on the south side of Chicago. Of course that you are. But that's the biggest thing that I always tell people. Like, what are the things that you can do to be the best offensive lineman? I jump rope every day because it's all about foot quickness. It's beating somebody to the spot. And once you have your feet aligned with your upper body and having that balance, that's where you can win at the point of attack. And when we used to run scissors, we used to double pull.
He sent me a scissors two days ago, a video.
We used to run, and we'd act one way, and we'd pull the complete opposite misdirection of the defense. And we used to set people up all the time. And I always say to this day, people ask about Tiki, and I said he was one of the smartest players, let alone running backs, that I've ever played with in my life.
Thank you, David.
How can you quantify that? When you were pulling in front of Tiki, he would put his hand either on your shoulder or your lower back and say, I'm going outside or inside. So you knew where to set up your block on a linebacker at the second level. It was everything.
I think he was just trying to cop a feel.
Well, with Sean O'Hara, he knew I wasn't for free.
I got those singles back in the locker room after.
O'Hara couldn't run as fast. O'Hara got in the ass. O'Hara got the smack on the head. Get the hell out of the way,
O'Hara.
Pick
it up, Sean. Hurry up.
Dave, you're as big a Giants fan as I am.
Absolutely.
And we spent a lot of time. And a lot of people spent a lot of time.
Here we go.
Dissecting. I'll take that back. I'm not going to use that word. Criticizing the New York Giants drafting of Daniel Jones. Now, you met him because you did the draft show. So you talked to him. And we met him also because he came in the studio here a year ago just to hang out. And so we met him. I like the kid. He's got a calmness. He's got an Eli-ness.
Well, he's got that demeanor.
He does not like him.
He's got an Eli.
But even beside that, he's got this
Eli-ness about him,
yeah.
Which surprisingly plays well in New York. Did the Giants do the right thing by taking him where they took him?
I mean, honestly, time will tell. I mean, when you're sitting there at number six and you have a premier pass rusher like Josh Allen, who you know can impact your defense immediately, especially when you lose Olivier Vernon through trade, and you know that when you're rebuilding this defense in the 3-4 scheme, we know they're versatile, but it's more 3-4. You need that one premier guy that makes us as an offense, an offensive line. We need to slide protections. Mm-hmm. We need chip help. So that way you have an offensive coordinator on his heels trying to dissect how they're going to set up protections. You think about the Giants over the last two seasons. They lost 17 games in the fourth quarter, and a lot of it was on the defensive side of the ball, not being able to get the pressure and the sacks on the quarterback. So you really think about that. But you and I both know, if you are 100% committed and love somebody, you're not going to risk it.
You're not
going to risk somebody else going to get that guy, and then you're sitting there with your head in your hand saying, what did we just do? Mm. And for the Giants and for Dave Gettleman, he understands the magnitude of this. He understands the magnitude of taking Daniel Jones at six. And the fact that people say that there's no pressure on Daniel Jones, that he's in the best situation, That's unbelievably ridiculous.
He'll have more pressure than anybody in New York. They'll run him out of the town if he can't play.
Since 2008, 32 quarterbacks have been taken in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
15 started of them week one.
Mm-hmm.
By week five, 24 of them started.
24 of the 32.
And by the end of it, there were only two people that ever redshirted. Jake Locker, he was behind Matt Hasselbeck,
mm-hmm.
and Patrick Mahomes. So you're going to get thrown into the fire because when you're drafted that high or in the first round, it's because you don't have a good football team.
But the problem is part of the problem. David Deal is with us, by the way, two-time offensive lineman, two-time champ, former O-lineman for the Giants here, hanging out in studio, Tiki and Tierney. It's easy and it's kind of lazy to say, no, Daniel Jones can't do this. He doesn't have a great arm. Daniel Jones didn't put up prolific numbers at Duke. We know there's always subtext.
Yeah.
Kids couldn't run. Kids couldn't catch. Inferior teammates. Yeah. We get all that. But the easy thing to do is to knock Daniel Jones. Which I believe is wrong.
Completely wrong.
The right thing to do is to question strongly, as I have, and Tiki knows this, the plan of the Giants. Because the plan should have been take a game wrecker, as you allude to at number six, somebody that's going to destroy the quarterback at number six. Take the best available offensive lineman at number 17 and trade for Josh Rosen. That was the plan, and they messed it up.
I don't think that was the plan.
Well,
whatsoever.
It should have been the plan. It wasn't their plan. That would have been the right plan.
And
though.
I will completely disagree.
Why?
With you. We're talking about a demeanor of a quarterback in New York City. Does Josh Rosen fit that demeanor?
And that was the one thing that I worried about.
But how does he not? How does he not?
I've been to Arizona. I've talked to people inside the Cardinals organization.
Yep.
It's a lot different when on Fridays there's two cameras and seven reporters there compared to New York City where there's 32 cameras and 50 reporters in the locker room.
Yep.
It's easy when you're getting your butt kicked to not say anything. That's the simple thing. But you don't think throwing him in this market like he was in UCLA with everything in California – he's not going to try to make headlines to make money
I think
off of
that,
the
that Dave, I love you, and I've known you for a while. I think that that's so unfair to him.
How?
Because I think it's a lazy narrative about this guy.
Sat down and interviewed him like I did, BT?
Yes, I have.
Okay.
I actually have. We've done it a few times here on the show.
Andy had an answer for every question.
Now, that, by
well,
the way.
Of course, because he's a smart kid, and I'll give him that.
Now, that does, just because I've
interviewed
him.
I don't necessarily mean that in a good way, Dave.
No, I know what you mean.
I know what you mean.
The subtlety of it. I like it.
And just because I've interviewed him doesn't mean he couldn't have fed us some nonsense. We've been doing this a long time.
We're talking about Josh. We're talking about Josh Rosen.
Rosen right now. But I think the way he handled his business, David, the way he comported himself when we all knew they were taking Kyler Murray, he's still showing up at 6 a.m. Even if it's for show, at least for show, he was projecting the right thing. I'm not saying he's going to be the man or great or would absolutely fit in New York, but I think it's unfair to say that he definitely would not. Because he's shown nothing as a pro to suggest that he wouldn't.
But that's
let's
the risk
just put
you
it this way. You move up and you trade picks to take somebody at 10. In the history of the NFL, has it ever happened where the year later you trade that guy, especially when it's a quarterback? There's something to that and something to be said about that.
But is it more about Josh Rosen or more about the Cardinals being lost and clueless?
Well, if they were lost and clueless, you don't waste those picks. And most importantly, you know when you have a quarterback in-house that can get it done, you're not getting rid of him. For somebody who's been in the trenches like I was for 11 seasons and as an offensive lineman, you're going into a fist fight for 60 to 70 plays with somebody behind you that better be feeling the same exact way. And I know the narrative of what he said after it, and I know what he talked about. But at the same time, when you go out and him saying, I don't need football, regardless of whether you were saying it or somebody else, what football player in the NFL would ever say that? Not a single one.
I mean, Kyler Murray almost didn't want football. They almost played baseball.
He was a first rounder in baseball. We're talking about two completely different things here.
David Deal is with us here. The great David Deal, two-time champ, and one of Tiki's teammates, one of his war horses. Bad. We love Deal, but he's wrong here. We get that.
No, you're absolutely right.
I have 100% confidence.
You don't say you
saying.
Don't want football until you don't want to do it anymore. That's when you're in your 30s or so. Let's move off of the Giants for a second. We'll stick kind of with the Giants. A former Giant, Odell Beckham Jr.
Yep.
You've done games around the league. You've seen I think you did a Cleveland Browns.
I've done Browns games.
You've done Browns games. It's been ugly there for a long time. The optimism feels almost too high to in a sense.
And you
obviously covering the Giants as much as you do, doing their local shows here. You've seen Odell's impact. The good and the bad.
Yeah.
What's he going to be in Cleveland? And are those expectations too high right now?
Well, number one, when you think about Freddie Kitchens, he's trying to put out all those fires with an extinguisher.
He's a ball coach.
Because
I like
of
him.
The pressure that it puts on you as a coach, as an organization, as a team, when you have those expectations, when you haven't even won your division in the last how many seasons. So when you think about that and the upgrades that they've made, it's no coincidence when you look at them on paper, they are one of the best football teams in the NFL. The amount of first-round draft picks on both sides of the ball and the way that they've been able to do things with John Dorsey, he has a vision for the football team, and it's clear, starting with Baker Mayfield to Jarvis Landry to Nick Chubb to now getting Odell Beckham Jr. into this crowd.
Yeah,
there are those expectations. But at the same time, when you think about Odell Beckham Jr., and for me as a football player, what's the one thing you always think of about having that asset? It's about durability.
Yeah.
It's about having him out there each and every Sunday, each and every game, even when the playoffs aren't involved. And that's something that when we look back to last season and when we look back at his career, he's one of the most explosive guys on the football field. But at the same time, when you're paying him that amount of money, you've got to be out on the football field every single practice, every single game. And I understand that this is a voluntary offseason, that you don't have to be there. It's not mandatory. But if he would just be there in Cleveland, he would put all of this to bed.
Yeah.
By just being there, nobody would have anything to talk about.
Yep.
And he's going to train on his own. He's going to do his own thing. And you know when he steps onto the football field, he's the most prepared. He's physically ready. And he practices that way day in
and day
out. But
that's not the point.
Yeah. But that's not the point.
Yep. Yeah.
The point is that you can take all these distractions away and for once finally say that you're happy to be some
team guy.
Does he want that, though?
Guy.
And it's funny you bring that up because you started the – like you read between the lines. I know you probably heard it directly because you were in the at the stadium. I speculated this when the Giants traded Odell to Cleveland, that Odell actually wanted to be traded. This wasn't the Giants saying, we give up, let's get rid of him. You start listening to Odell saying, hey, I just started feeling like a year ago that this wasn't the right fit. Do you think that the Giants did what Odell actually wanted to happen?
Well, think 6 weeks after he got $90 million, he still said he wasn't happy. At what point do
you... He'll never be fully happy. That's my opinion.
You get traded like you wanted to a situation that is absolutely perfect for you. You have your best friend and your teammate from college.
Mm-hmm.
You have your wide receivers coach from college. And you have a quarterback in Baker Mayfield in a system that you wanted. How can you sit there and say, well, I'm still not sure about this. It's still trying to grasp it. You got exactly what you wanted.
And tons of cash to go with it.
And when you think about that, and when you think about the things that just came out now in GQ, he is very smart about the message that he puts out there, the verbiage that he uses, because it's all directed at one thing. When he sits here and says, well, in the next 5 years for Cleveland, I don't think a little bit of that is wanting a new contract, wanting more money, and saying, hey, we're going to get something done or I'm going to be out of here too. There's something to that.
It's a ridiculous statement. What he said.
Yeah.
It's look at me. It's always look at me. Even if it's an indirect look at me, it's look at me.
And you're comparing yourself to the Patriots.
That's
already
a joke. And you're really comparing Freddie Kitchens to Belichick. Because without Belichick, the Patriots aren't the Patriots, as great as Tom Brady is.
And not as you already had the pressure on yourselves. Now you're comparing yourself to the Patriots, to Bill Belichick, and you're still a team that, don't get me wrong, you've proved a lot of people wrong last year, but you still didn't make the playoffs.
You didn't win 50% of your games, by
the way. You didn't win the division.
You were 7-8-1. Now, obviously, second half, a foreshadow,
much different,
we would
without
think,
a doubt.
But tap him. Relax. Just play ball, Odell, and be quiet.
I agree.
You know?
I can't disagree. I
hear you.
Tell us about this tournament that you have. Fifth annual. I didn't realize this. Clara Moss Medical Center Golf Invitational, hosted by you, obviously, out at Montclair Golf Club in West Orange, New Jersey. You can get information on it at www.clara, that's with a C, C-L-A-R-A, golf.org. Tell us about this.
I've been a part of Clara Moss and RWJ Barnabas Healthcare System for 9 years. We do all the cardiac and concussion screenings in the state of New Jersey, from grade school to high school, all the way on up. It was a home run for me the minute that they approached me that long ago. Both my father and my grandfather passing away from heart attacks, you know, before my rookie season. Mm-hmm. You were part of that. And then the concussion part, being able to help parents and kids return to the play, that's everything.
Yeah.
People say, well, baseline testing. You don't buy car insurance thinking that you're just going to go out and get into a car accident. You buy it to protect yourself, and it's the same thing that we did with kids. Now on Monday, we're having our fifth annual that I'm hosting, And to be able to affect a hospital like Clara Moss that's less than 10 minutes away from Giants Stadium and the communities around there, there's a reason why we're Giants forever and Sundays were like they were, because of that loyal fan base, because of the people that supported us through thick and thin. Now being able to give back and to support that hospital and those communities around it, being able to visit kids in the hospital, it is the biggest impact and life changer that you'll ever be a part of.
He's one of my favorite guys.
Oh, he's great.
I love debating him because I got to put him in his place.
We have to. Once again, trying to get that last word as the Jets fan. Always, I see it. Always.
Hey, you want to bet on who's going to win more games this year, the Jets or the Giants?
Well,
you want to bet
the one thing that I will say is that people were questioning Daniel Jones. There weren't a lot of people on the Lamar Jackson side like somebody else.
This guy right here.
Exactly. We were talked about it during this show.
Okay. Yeah.
He's not a true quarterback.
We're getting a compliment here.
He will find ways to win games. And you and I both said that.
We did say that.
Yeah, especially when you help your team rush for 300 yards. They averaged 300 yards rushing.
And that's exactly the same point that we talked about. If you can force a defense to play 11-on-11 football, you're going to win games.
You're right.
I love how intense, like when his eyebrows go up. You look like a caricature.
I love this, man. Yeah,
his eyebrows go up. Like, he looks deranged.
I'm passionate about this.
You're the best.
You guys really are, too, man. You should have seen him and Soyberg next to each other.
Oh, jeez.
People would see me, they'd be like, who is this guy on the football field? You're completely different off. You got to hit the switch.
No, he's not.
And he does great things off the field. In all sincerity, big fan. You know that.
Thank you, fellas. Thank you very much.
We appreciate the invite. We're obviously working. Otherwise, we would have come out and hacked up the golf course and probably gotten kicked off.
I might come over for a beverage afterwards.
That's on the table.
There you go. That's always on the table.
It's on the table. Great David Deal, 2-time champ. Appreciate it, buddy.
Thank you, fellas.
David Deal. Inbounds, out of bounds, coming up. We'll hit that next on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. All right, CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line is 1-855-212-4227. Brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. On Twitter, Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney, 1-855-212-4227. All right, I want to circle back to something that our buddy Deal dropped in there. And I had to call him on it. I still think he's totally wrong. I think his assertions and his position with Josh Rosen, his characterization, are just, I almost want to say, unfounded.
I'm going to tell you why it doesn't matter, but go ahead.
Okay. Well, it doesn't matter.
It does.
I'm saying it doesn't matter because the Giants may not have just viewed him as a good enough player, maybe. I just think it's really unfair, okay, Steve Smith did this recently as well. Eviscerated Josh Rosen.
I can't eviscerate Josh Rosen.
No, but Steve Smith
I just don't know.
Yeah.
Right? What kind of player he can be. I mean, he played with crap last year. Bad offensive line.
No doubt about it.
We love Larry, but I mean, Larry's 36 years old.
Larry getting up there. Larry's not a kid. And listen, this is pretty much the mic drop of any conversation. If Larry Fitzgerald vouches for you, that's good enough for me.
I agree with you.
And Larry Fitzgerald has no need. There's no underlying reason. There's no benefit for him to put himself out there and stamp Josh Rosen as a great teammate. Like, he went out of his way above and beyond. It wasn't like, hey, man, I wish the kid well. Mm-hmm. It was superlatives about his demeanor.
Dude, you know he
and
works.
His presence.
You know he works.
Exactly.
The things that David Deal was referring to is that, coming out of college, Josh Rosen not really went out of his way, but wasn't shy about talking about how football is what he loves to do. But if he could be a businessman, he'd do that as well. Like, he's got so many different interests, and I think he actually even started a business when he was in college with one of his former teammates. I can't remember what it was around now, but it was helping athletes do something or another. So he's got interests that aren't just football related,
mm-hmm.
and for like a wide receiver or whatever, tackle or running back, it doesn't really matter. But if you're a quarterback and a young quarterback coming to the NFL, it better be 1 and 1A and 2 and 3 and 4 being a quarterback in the National Football League, not all these other things. And so what I think Deal is trying to say is if Josh Rosen had come to New York, then, you know, all those opportunities would have been vast in his face and maybe distracted him from being the best player that he could be. The problem, and why I'm saying this doesn't matter, it seems like from the downstream dialogue around the draft and the Arizona Cardinals handling of Josh Rosen, that they didn't reach out to anybody. Like, and when people reached out to them, they didn't get back to him.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly don't know if they knew when they were going to trade him, who they were going to trade him to, and they didn't go through the
proper channels, the protocols.
The proper protocols, yep, to make it happen. I listened, well, I went for a run this morning, and I was listening to Peter King's podcast. Peter is great, obviously.
Yeah,
we haven't had him on the show in a while. We should get him on. But he did a sit-down with Steve Keim, who is the general manager, and Cliff Kingsbury, the new head coach of the Arizona Cardinals, and they were discussing, you know, this, right? What, you know, when did you know that Kyler Murray was going to be your guy? And Steve Keim said, look, I heard so much about him that I didn't want to be biased. It took him a long time to watch the tape,
mm-hmm,
right? So he didn't do his study on the guy until really late in the process, which is probably why they weren't quick to try to trade Josh Rosen. And so as a result, they ended up screwing themselves, right? The Dolphins got a steal,
mm-hmm,
right?
That's no question.
I mean,
they did.
They stole Josh Rosen, and it's really the Cardinals' fault because they were slow on fully committing to Kyler Murray.
Well, that's the thing. And, you know, one of the things that Dave leaned on, he said that, you know, listen, and I understand why some would frame it this way, but just because the Cardinals didn't get back good value,
mm-hmm,
for somebody that they moved up to draft a year ago doesn't mean that they're right.
Yeah.
Like,
no.
I know it looks bad now,
agreed,
but it looks bad on the Cardinals. It doesn't reflect poorly to me,
yeah,
on Josh Rosen.
Agreed.
It's just like, well, I mean, that's a franchise that outside of a few outliers with Bruce Arians, a bit of doormat. I mean, really, since you played against them and they had no stadium.
You're right.
When they played at ASU and they had their little metal.
You never count wins except for when you were playing Arizona back in 1997 and 98, 99. And they got good for a couple years.
No, they did.
But, I mean, you're right.
They were. Hey, listen, the year the Jets went 1-15, the only win was against them. Adrian Morrell ran for 200 yards.
It was. I remember going out to some of those games.
Boomer may have been the quarterback on the. No, Boomer wasn't.
I remember going out to some of those games, BT, because we'd play them for whatever asinine reason, in September, when it's still like 95 degrees. There was, I want to say, max 15,000 people in the stadium.
That was always the seventh broadcast team,
yeah,
dispatched
it was so
to
bad.
That venue.
It was so bad.
In Tempe.
And then they built the new stadium, and they turned it around. Bruce comes, who was the head coach when they went to the Super Bowl? Wizenhunt, when he went to the Super Bowl.
His star is really dimmed, huh?
Yeah, it did.
Hardcore.
And then,
wow,
obviously, Kurt Warner was there.
Mm-hmm.
And they had that, you know, Larry Fitzgerald was rising to want to be one of the great wide receivers in NFL history. And they were exciting for a minute. And then Bruce comes there. They get close to a championship, at least an NFC championship. They lost it right at the end. And ultimately, it feels like they're falling back apart in some ways. Kyler Murray could be the savior, especially if Cliff Kingsbury is the right coach,
mm-hmm,
but that's to be determined.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll be fair, and maybe this latest reboot is one that will propel them to a long-sustained era of Cardinal success. I mean, I'd love for it to happen, because let's face it, if Cliff Kingsbury is successful, that means that his quarterback is successful.
Yep.
And if his quarterback is successful, that is going to be fun for us as consumers.
No doubt. And it means the NFC West should be extraordinarily relevant going forward.
Yeah.
So it would be awesome.
Shanahan doing his thing with Lynch. They got to get that going, yep, a little bit in San Francisco. We know about,
mm-hmm,
well, Russell Wilson. Sure.
Russell Wilson,
getting
Seattle.
The extension. The Rams are, you, yep, know, vibrant. They're going to lose some players shortly because obviously Jared Goff's going to have to get paid. But,
yep,
they've got a brilliant, you know, a young Jedi running that ship in McVay. It's going to pop, so we're rooting for the Cardinals. But their plan has been very disjointed. Doesn't mean it can't work out.
That's right.
The way they're getting from point A to point B has not been the most direct line. We'll see. All right, coming up next, we have Inbounds, Out of Bounds here on the show. And third hour, Warriors, Rockets, heavy NBA, obviously. Axe update coming at you right now. Here's Ray. Okay, Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network back. We'll do a lot of basketball top of the hour. Warriors, Rockets tonight. And this is Kyrie's last stand. Man, that has gone sideways as sideways can be. Totally. What a circus with the Celtics, huh?
And he's an unreliable quote right now. He's a bad leader.
Yeah.
Can't score. 7-22.
He's an enigma. I mean, in so many ways, he is very enigmatic. His talent is as rare as anybody on the planet. I mean, his handle, he's got the best handle in the NBA. You want to say maybe Steph, I still think it's Kyrie. He does things, his ability to score in small space, and I've said this a few times. I remember saying this a couple of years ago.
He might be as adept as anybody. Isaiah Thomas was very good at this as well.
Yeah.
As anybody in the history of the NBA at the use of spins off the backboard.
Yeah.
I mean, not only just the height, but the angle from the left to the right, either hand he finishes. But he just seems checked out.
It's failing on him right now.
Very weird. Very weird what's happening.
It used to feel like he could do it kind of unconsciously without even thinking about it. Now he tries to do it unconsciously. He doesn't even get close to the rim.
And he's not trying to tap into another aspect of his game for the betterment of the Celtics. He's just trying to shoot himself into it.
Yeah.
He's trying to play hero ball. That's what you do 1 or 2 years into the NBA, not when you're on the cusp of a championship.
Agreed.
You know, and it's just very strange. So we'll do that coming up 5 Eastern, 2 Pacific. Right now, though, a little inbounds and out of bounds. Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Kiki and Tierney.
Okay, here we go. So, despite starting the season 3-5 and hearing rumblings about Jason Garrett's job status, the Cowboys, they won the NFC East a year ago. For the third time in 5 years, doesn't quite seem like it's been a little bit of a dynasty, because it hasn't been, but, I mean, 3 out of 5 is pretty damn good in the NFL. Garrett, the 2016 NFL Coach of the Year, is entering the final year of his contract, and Jerry Jones told Michael Irvin on the Rich Eisen Show that he's not planning to give Garrett an extension before the season.
It's being noted that we're in the last year of Jason's contract. He's been there before in his last year. But it's obvious to the world that Jason, as Bill Parcells used to say, might have a place in the family portrait as far as how valued he is. My point is, I'm satisfied with where we are with his contract right now. It is to be negotiated at some point in the future.
Okay, so there it is.
Lame duck.
Interesting analogy, the family portrait. All right, inbounds, out of bounds here. See, Jason Garrett will be the Cowboys' head coach next season. For 2019, for 2020.
2020. I'm going to say inbounds, BT, because I think the Cowboys are actually going to win this season and do well. As if they get their contract things, negotiations worked out, not only with Dak Prescott, so he's happy, but also Amari Cooper, Ezekiel Elliott, you can probably delay it for a year or so. And they're going to win. And so if they win, then I think Jason Garrett is safe. Also, I think the only coach that Jerry Jones would like to have replace Jason Garrett would be Sean Payton.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked to Sean Payton last week. It doesn't seem like he's ready to leave New Orleans, but...
No, I could change in a hurry.
Especially when Drew Brees decides to retire or do something else.
Uh-huh.
So I'm going to say inbound.
I'm going to say out of bounds. Mm-hmm. You know, I've been lukewarm on Jason Garrett his entire tenure there. I need more. I mean, I'm sorry. You know, 3 relatively hollow divisional championships that have equated to nothing in the grand scheme of things for a franchise like the Yankees, like the Steelers, like the great, you know, brands and all the sport. Division titles may work in some markets, but it's all about the Lombardi Trophy in Dallas, or at least it used to be, and it's got to get back to being that way for this team. Now, listen, I could see this happening. I could see him getting an extension before the season, and I could see Jerry Jones eating the money when exactly.
Because that's not cap money. That's like his money.
That's his money, and he's getting old, and he wants to win.
And he just said he could be in our family portrait, right?
Uh-huh.
You can pay guys in your family. Right?
That's right.
Go sit on the couch or go on the porch and do nothing. Here's your money. We're going to hire somebody else to do the job.
Wouldn't surprise me at all. And you do have to monitor how Drew Brees plays this season. If there is obvious attrition, and for Saints fans, I hope there isn't. I'm not even saying that there will be, but if there is, you'd have to think at some point Sean's going to bounce.
Yeah.
And I would think that Sean Payton would be target number one for the Cowboys.
I would agree.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, Teague. The Thunder disappointed this year, as we know, getting bounced in 5 by the Blazers in round number 1. There's now reports saying that not only did Russ undergo surgery to repair a torn ligament in his non-shooting hand, but Paul George will also have a procedure to repair a small labrum tear in his left shoulder. He was obviously a little hobbled with that. It was a theme throughout the year during the playoffs. So during the season, the 28-year-old George averaged more points, shot better from the field and from 3, and had a higher PER than the 30-year-old Westbrook, despite Russ's 3rd straight season averaging a trip dub in or out. The Thunder should make Paul George the focal point of their team moving forward?
Look, inbounds, BT, and I think Paul George kind of already is the focal point. He was the one that they relied on for large parts of the regular season to be the leading scorer. And Russ kind of deferred back to a traditional point guard role. This all went awry for the Oklahoma City Thunder when Russell Westbrook in the postseason decided to be a hero again and try to make every shot and score 40. And he's just inefficient, taking 10 three-pointers in a game. You're a sub 30% 3-point shooter. Why are you shooting 10 times from range? We kind of mentioned this, BT, or at least I did, suggested this when the season was over for the Oklahoma City Thunder when they got knocked out. Maybe Russ needs to be off the ball. Maybe they need a more traditional point guard. Not all the time. So he can bring the ball up every now and then. But I think if he goes off the ball, you can let Russ be Russ, mm-hmm. as opposed to the guy who dominates and gets caught up in himself and forgets that he actually has really good teammates like Paul George.
So here's the problem. No matter how you answer this, it's not going to equate to a championship with the Thunder.
That's a great point.
That's the problem. I mean, so if you make him the primary point, my answer, by the way, is inbounds. Mm-hmm. I believe that they should. The efficiency that which we documented is better. He's just more efficient than Russ Westbrook is. So for that reason alone, you would think that it would be natural to gravitate in that direction or toward that direction. But, you know, and I don't say this to diss Paul George, who I really like, but, you know, Paul George as the best player on any team, that's a really good team, maybe. That's not a championship team. And we've seen that the Russell Westbrook-led Thunder are not a championship team either. So they're in a little bit of a murky spot.
I agree with
Age
you.
Is starting to creep in for Russ.
And they don't have money to do much of anything.
They have zero flexibility. Their coach is a little bit in flux. I know what they said recently. Billy's going to be back, but I wouldn't be surprised if they had. First of all, I'm not even so sure, though, with due respect to Billy, he should be back next season.
Yeah.
But after that, you would imagine if there's an underachievement, there'll be a full reevaluation. They're a little messy. I'm going to say inbounds to the question.
Are you in or are you out?
All right, let's get to the Warriors and the Bucks. Both big game 5 matchups tonight. Both received a bit of good news. So for Golden State, their 2015 NBA Finals MVP, Andre Iguodala, expected to play despite hurting his knee in game 4. And in Milwaukee, the rookie of the year back in 2017, Malcolm Brogdon, will likely play some limited run tonight for the first time since before St. Patrick's Day. In or out, Brogdon is more important for the Bucks than Iguodala is for the Warriors.
I'm going to say out of bounds of this. I think Andre Iguodala's defensive length and ability to disrupt, even though he hasn't done it very effectively, and really any of those guys on these last two games, is so important. Malcolm Brogdon is a great piece, a great leadership on-court leadership piece for the Bucks. But right now, they're playing fantastic without him. Giannis is being Giannis, MVP level Giannis. Chris Middleton has finally started to shoot some shots after game 1, where it was a little bit sketchy and far between. And let's not forget, defense is what's most important in this series right now for them. And George Hill's doing a heck of a job. Eric Bledsoe, he can also do a job there. I know that Malcolm Brogdon has defensive principles built into him because of his Tony Bennett days at the University of Virginia. Well, but I think that Andre Iguodala is significantly more important right now for the Warriors, who have to pull out all the stops in order for them to slow down this Rocket squad.
It's a good question. It's a really good question, because what they do, certainly you can quantify clearly, but I think my answer is out of bounds, because it's what Iguodala does for the Warriors that you can't necessarily quantify. Hmm. And he is just the ultimate teammate.
Yeah.
He's the OG in the locker room. He's not even that old, but he's the OG in that locker room. And he has the utmost respect of everybody. I'm not saying Brogdon does not, but the cachet that Iguodala brings for a team that, let's face it, everybody's trying to get theirs, and human nature creeps in.
Yep.
There's a little ego. He's not worried about it. And I think at the end of the day, anytime there's a little ripple, he's able to kind of stifle that. I think that's so paramount to their success. But I will say this for Brogdon. So my answer is out of bounds. I do think Iguodala is a little bit more important. But I think I think it's paramount that Brogdon plays a little bit of time before the next series.
No doubt.
Unless they collapse and lose 3 straight, which they won't.
Yeah.
They're going to need him against the Raptors.
Agreed. If you're watching us on the network, it's showing the point differential. Malcolm Brogdon scores 15, almost 16 points a game. Andre Iguodala is only 6 points a game. And right now, the Bucks don't have to worry about outscoring the Boston Celtics, because the Boston Celtics are about as cold as Antarctica right now. So it's not important, but it will be against the Toronto Raptors, and especially how good that Kawhi Leonard is playing. They got to score.
Teek, if they play for the championship, we'll have a real answer there.
Yeah,
they'll play each other.
You're right.
Not that they'll always be matched up on each other, but we'll get a sense of that. Maybe a little more clarity. Good question.
Are you in or are you out?
Okay, so the Sinclair Broadcast Group purchased 21 former Fox Regional Sports Networks last week, and CEO Chris Ripley is planning some big changes, mostly focused on the legalization of gambling in the United States. Not only does Ripley expect to add nearly $2 billion in ad revenue from gambling organizations.
I can't wait to hear your answer on this one.
But he wants to add live betting option on screen during games. Here's what he told Reuters. Ripley said, quote, "We're going to add the ability to do prop bets in the game, pitch by pitch, play by play. You can play along and wager while you watch," end quote. All right, so this level of play-by-play betting will be detrimental to the integrity of major sports we watch.
I'm going to say out of bounds because of the word integrity. I think guys are making too much money to be caught up in this. I think if that word was replaced with like enjoyment or utility, I would say inbounds. But I'm going to say out of bounds, right? So worrying about what the next pitch is going to be or, you know, what the next whatever is going to be takes away from actually just watching it happen. And so I think it would change how we watch sports. Maybe not for the best. But I don't think it's going to affect, like, is this guy cheating? Is this guy got is he on the take? You know, I don't think that's going to happen because of the inserting of gambling into major professional sports.
All right, if I'm Chris Ripley, right, and I'm thinking, first of all, it's a very, very interesting direction that he plans on going in. And let's just keep it real. I mean, take two teams that you have no rooting interest in. It's not your team. They're not in the division in which your team is. So you're not rooting for that team to lose. I'll say the Colorado Rockies are playing the Padres, right? A couple of great players on each team for sure. Both teams, you know, are pretty good. If I see the Rockies and the Padres, I'll give it 3 minutes. I will, unless Machado's coming up, Arenado's coming up, it's a tight game, bullpens. Otherwise, I'll probably just keep flipping. If it's a Tuesday night, you know, fairly innocuous game, nothing happening, and I've got the ability to hit buttons and bet on the pitch, people are going to watch longer because they're going to hit buttons
to
bet. So from Chris Ripley's point of view, it's sensible. Now, my answer, bad move. I know that this is what you were looking forward to hearing. As much as I, you know, talk about gambling and I partake myself and I love the spreads and the odds, this would not be good. This would actually devalue the main thing that we tune in to watch. Now, I will say this. I actually think you can make a lot of money doing this because I remember, and I always love doing this, if you know baseball, right? I would sit there in the basement with my dad, watch the Yankees and the Mets, and say Paul O'Neill's batting. And pitcher, whomever, throws up and in, fastball, just to show me fastball under his chin or, you know, right around the armpit, right? Next pitch, invariably, a little something soft and away.
Yeah.
If you know how baseball works, there's a setup method. There's a mechanical method to pitch selection. Which means I probably get wrapped up in this nonsense.
You could clean up on nickels and dimes, man.
You kind of could. It's uber minutia. It's interesting, but I think it might swallow things up, and I don't know that I want to see this, but it's an interesting thought.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
You just follow pitch patterns. And then what happens? Hey, you got to look at this too. What if you're able to guess the signs?
Yeah, yeah. Or just watch it for a couple of like an hour before you know it. You got it.
So it probably has to be. I would think would have to be more location. But you could obviously do the location. I mean, I don't know how you would actually do that. But because if there's nobody on base, they're just flashing one sign.
Yeah.
Now if there's a guy on second, they're going to get multiple signs to keep the hitting team and base runners honest. I don't know. I got to follow this here, T. Might be able to make some money, buddy. Third hour coming up.
All right. life, football fans. The NFL Draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. Audacy. Download it today.